Hi, welcome to Gardening Related. I'm Aunt Rebecca in Oregon.
And I'm Elizabeth over in New York.
She's my niece and I love her whole bunches.
And she's my aunt and I love her more.
No, you don't.
Okay. No, I don't.
Okay, fine.
But I do.
But you do. And I do too, so there.
There you go.
So by the time this comes out, it'll be mid-September. And it's harvest. We're in the middle of the harvest by now. And a lot of people across the country have had such a hot summer that their tomatoes haven't ripened, including mine. Until probably now. For those of you that it's turning cold, you can rip your tomatoes out of the ground, and every tomato that's still stuck on the vine, you turn it upside down and hang it in your garage. If it's going to frost. And then the tomatoes still ripen on the vine, even a dying vine, in your garage, and you still get ripe tomatoes for a few months or even weeks. For those of you that haven't done that and that you've already gotten, I can't imagine, but maybe Denver or something would get a cold spell. gather your tomatoes as quickly as you can and put them upside down on your windowsills. Mm-hmm. And then they ripen. It's not as good as vine ripen, but it'll do.
You put them upside down, so the leaf part you put on the counter?
The stem part you put on the counter.
Yeah, the stem. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I have never done that. That's so interesting.
Upside down. I don't know why, but that's what I was always told. It might be an
old wives'
tale.
I guess that makes sense because the bottom of the tomato never got any sunlight compared to the top.
And the bottom of the tomato is always sweeter. Have you noticed that?
No. You know, I had the craziest conversation with a friend about carrots and the sweetness in carrots, the sweet core of a carrot.
Yes.
And she was saying, you know, I would always save, like, nibble around the carrot like a corn cob until you get, like, the sweet little core of it. Save that for last and then...
Yeah.
And it blew my mind because I had never done that before. But I started paying attention to it. Anyway.
And carrots benefit from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is fascinating. Carrots benefit from a frost.
Yes.
So don't panic.
I love my carrots.
They get
way
sweeter.
Yeah.
I grew some carrots in Taos and had them. Frost comes, you know, practically September 2nd up in zone one. And I didn't get my carrots in, and I thought they were, you know, I'd pull one out. I thought they were going to be all rotted and yucky. They were they were like candy.
Mm.
My neighbors came over and stole some of my carrots because she had little children. I mean, it was insane.
Oh.
It was so good. I've never had a sweeter carrot than the ones I had in Taos for my garden.
Oh, I love it.
So if you can afford to wait and harvest your carrots after a good frost, do it. Because my goodness, they'll be so much sweeter.
I know. I'm looking forward to that. I'm leaving mine. So to jump back to tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Blowing my mind that you flip them upside down on the counter to ripen. Also, I heard a controversial thing about tomatoes. And I want to run it by you, and I have my own thoughts about this. but someone was saying, you know, since any part of the tomato vine can root, are we growing our tomatoes wrong? Should we be laying them down and growing them sideways rather than vertically?
Well, some people do plant them sideways instead of digging a deeper hole. They do plant them sideways, but that doesn't mean that that you get several shoots up from one. You still only get it from the top, unless you trim off the top. And I wouldn't risk doing that.
Right.
I would think that it would just rot underground, or maybe it roots. But I don't know. Those side shoots might not grow, and if you've added enough amendments to your soil, you should get a killer tomato.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if you don't, some people really believe in pruning them back to one line just one single tomato line and stress it a little bit all summer long. And it gives you earlier tomatoes and it gives you not as many. Mm-hmm. And certainly by this time of the year, the vine looks really weird. But they swear by earlier tomatoes and you can get bigger tomatoes that way. Mm-hmm. Because the vine is producing only three or four at a time.
But then isn't there another way to prune them where it gets bushier?
Well, if you just don't prune them, it gets bushier.
Okay. Yes.
Now, you've had this topping thing going on, and I never heard about that.
Okay.
But I never wanted mine bushier. I just was too lazy to go out and trim 15 tomato plants that were the size of, you know, huge. I mean, they were huge.
You grow monster tomatoes. And you just
but I
let
have
them
a
grow.
Long growing season, and yeah. I have a long growing season. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll still be harvesting this year, probably in October. October's my main harvest.
Wow! Wow!
So it was last year. That's when I was making my tomato sauce and stuff. So when are you harvesting?
Well, I've had my second harvest of tomatoes already. I still have some more on the vine. A decent amount, good. You know, we were able to make tomato sauce and,
good.
And tomatoes and mozzarella, basil, good. Classic.
Caprese.
Yeah. Yeah. And the chickens have gotten at some of our Sun Gold tomatoes. So that's
those creeps.
I know.
Boy, do they have an expensive taste.
God, I love them so much though.
I do too. Oh. Hunt made us grow two this year. So we're going to be covered up with them. And I'm thinking about making a Sun Gold when we finally get them ripened in mass. I'm thinking about making a Sun Gold tomato sauce.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
When you immerse them, you don't need to peel a tomato.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be orange, not red, but it should be very complex.
Yeah, and I feel like you could do an amazing creaminess with that too. Like add a little heavy cream.
Yes.
Has that that sweetness. That's going to be so good. I'd put it over like ravioli.
Yeah. Or I could also add it to vegetable soups, which would make it much more complex.
Yeah.
Or chili.
Yeah.
Which would make it very complex. So hopefully we'll get a whole bunch soon because we haven't had very many. We've had maybe two dozen. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But Haunt kept telling me that the tomatoes weren't in good shape when he planted them. And I know he planted them deep this year because I'd asked him to. Didn't you, baby? You planted them deep, right? Yes. So
yes.
We'll see. Now, for those that are listening to us in mid-September, there are things that if you're in zone 6 and above, maybe 7 and above, sorry, Elizabeth, there are several things you can start to grow now, not from seed. From seed, you should have started your lettuce already, and you can plant that out anytime that they're strong and big enough. Cover them with something so that the birds don't get to them, or the slugs. Mm-hmm. But like lettuce and spinach, and even pansies. But for those of us that want to continue to beautify our summer gardens, now's the time in mid-September to plant your mums. You could even have planted them earlier, but no later than mid-September.
Mm-hmm.
Mums and asters and nasturtiums, things like that that need about a month's root growth before the first frost.
Mm-hmm.
In your zone 5, when do you get your first frost?
We're getting our first frost. I believe it's scheduled for the end of September, so should
okay,
be
good.
Any day now.
okay.
My dahlia.
So because
we're in the past, and my dahlias are looking so good. Oh my goodness, yeah. I am so proud of them, and all different colors.
I'm so glad. Good.
Yeah. Oh, and you know those mystery bulbs that I was talking about?
Yes.
That I planted and lost the label for, because of course I did.
Yes.
Didn't take any notes. Yes,
everyone, that happens to everyone.
Well, they started flowering, and they're gladiolas, and they're gorgeous.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I have white now, and a gorgeous, variegated orange yellow, which I love. You don't have to, but yes. I love. It's right up against
that's
my...
That's your colors.
Yeah, well, it's right up against my purple Rose of Sharon, and it just...
Oh, nice.
They look so good together.
I'll
and
bet
then
they do.
A couple
did you
purples.
Take pictures?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, a couple good, purples good, good. And some cosmos are coming up in between that them. And, you know, it's a later flower garden, but it's a pretty one.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Gladiolas normally take 2 months.
Yeah, it took a while.
Yes.
I was
from when
so
you put
impatient.
Them in the ground to when they bloom. So you can have them all year long if you keep planting them about every 2 weeks.
That's what I remember the package saying. Of course, I don't remember
that's
the
name.
But
that's
I do
okay.
remember the package recommending that I plant them every 2 weeks for continued growth. And I did plant, I did like 3 different plantings of them. So I'll have...
Wow, I'm impressed. Elizabeth, that's very impressive, frankly. That's very impressive. Normally, I plant all my glads at the same time and call myself lucky that I get them in the ground. But, you know, when they say these instructions for planting them every 2 weeks, it's like, oh, and I have nothing else to do in my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or you write it in your journal to plant glads every 2 weeks, and then that 2 weeks comes along and you go, okay, I'm going to plant the glads today, and nothing else gets in the way. And so you do.
Yeah.
That's always nice. I've never known that life. I've never known that life. I've always gotten way far behind in something by that time and need to get to it.
Oh, well, so, I'm certainly behind in other areas, and you know.
Yes, we all get that way.
You know, there's always something you're doing well at, and there's other things that you're not. And it's just that's life.
That's right.
It's always a shifting, you know. It's
yes.
always shifting.
When Haunt takes pictures of the garden, this is a big secret, so don't tell anybody.
I won't.
When Haunt
I
takes
won't.
Pictures of the garden, he never takes pictures of the stuff that's, you know, weedy and horrible and overgrown or seeded or whatever. He takes pictures of just the most perfect things. But if you were to come and look at it, you would be like, where's this perfect garden I've been seeing online? So don't think that. Just take pictures of your beautiful parts of your garden, and your memory will remember that.
Yeah.
And they won't remember the weedy parts.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
Nice.
Because here's the secret in the age of Instagram and social media is, you know, you can only see what's in the camera frame.
That's
if you
right.
were to zoom out, you would see the piles of papers,
that's right.
the piles of leaves, the tools that have been left out for, you know, I don't
yes.
want to talk about it.
Yep. The dirty you know. Kneecaps, your filthy fingers, absolutely.
Yep, yep, exactly.
Yes. Exactly. How bad your hair looks that day. I know. I have this theory. The uglier the gardener, the prettier the garden. It's like, okay, I don't care about what I look like, but man, do my roses look good.
Yep. I know. My mom recommended, or I'm going down to visit her next week, and she's like, yeah, so you know, I figure we'll get a mani-pedi, and I'm like looking at my nails like, oh god, do they need it.
Well, good for you. I find that money thrown away, but if your mom's paying for it, what the heck.
Yeah.
I mean, my mani would last me 20 minutes. I'd get home, and before I could get to the door, I would find four weeds or 6 weeds that needed to be taken care of at the front door.
Yep.
And there goes my mani.
Oh, yeah. I feel the same way. Is it's like, you know, I get the harder stuff, the gel. It's not like the fake acrylic.
Yes.
Because I cannot function with long nails.
Yeah.
Just never learned how to do it. I am all thumbs with that. But I get the harder gel. And that lasts me, you know, they say it lasts 3 weeks. It lasts me a week and a half, you know.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, right? If I were
That's
to,
pretty good.
When I paint my own nails, I get, about 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or 6 minutes, depending on if the cat spilled it, or if you got to go pick up something, or if you itch on your back between your clothes and it's gone.
Yep. Yep. Or you do them an hour before you go to bed, and then you wake up with,
wrinkled nails.
Wrinkled nails. I've given up. You know, it's like there's some things that I care about, and my nails are personally not going to be one of them.
You know,
one of the things I stress about.
It's one of the things gardeners have to realize. You can either have a beautiful garden or not, or beautiful nails.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, and some people are pretty prissy and wear gloves 24/7 almost in the garden, and I can't seem to control myself when I, you know, when I step out there and I see a weed or something, it's like, nope,
nope,
you're not getting away. And especially if it's gone to seed, oh my gosh. Or if it's about to go to seed, that's even worse. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to get that right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I don't like wearing gloves.
Oh, you don't?
I don't. I hate wearing gloves. They just, I don't know. There's something about getting my hands in the dirt. And like, you know, if I'm dealing with my rose bush or, you know, whatever else have you, I'll put gloves on. But as soon as I'm done with the prickery thing or the thing that's, you know, horrible and uncomfortable, I gotta get my hand. I just feel like the dexterity is down. I just can't get my hands around gloves or within gloves.
Well, in California, they would sell gloves really expensive, and I would just go to the store. It wasn't that cold, and I would go to the store and buy rubber gloves.
Oh.
You know, like for what you do with for dishes.
Yeah.
And while they're not good for ouchies and, you know, tears and stuff, they were really good for digging around or or saving your nails for something if you were going to go out that night.
Mm.
And they had more dexterity to them. They had a sort of a feel of, you could feel what you were feeling, and that always worked. It's not for everybody, and it's not for super, super cold days when you're working in the garden.
Oh, true.
But it was really, really good for that. It's not for hot days either, because your hands will just boil. But for those medium days, and I lived in a part of California that had almost 5 months of spring and 5 months of fall and a month each of summer and winter.
Yeah.
So it was really nice. I would spend a lot of money on just rubber gloves.
Well, that works. That's a really good trick.
Because I wanted to have that dexterity. You know, I really wanted to be able to feel it. So if it's mid-September, we need to think about planting bulbs.
Yes. So what bulbs should I be planting? Are we talking daffodils?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Daffodils, tulips, things like that, that will give you, it's cool enough by the end of September, you're going to have your first frost. Certainly the ground won't be frozen, but it will give the bulbs a couple of weeks in there by mid-September to start to set up a root so they won't rot. So because it's today is the, what is it, the 6th of September?
Yes.
I think so. You should have your bulbs either on order or arrive by the 15th. And a lot of people really are religious about ordering bulbs. So when you go look at these beautiful, beautiful bulb websites, a lot of them are already sold out. So my recommendation for next August is to look early.
Ah, smart. Smart. Yes.
And also go to your nurseries, go to your, you know, I buy enormous amounts of bulbs at my Costco because they're cheap. And they have what I want that works in my area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes
sense. Because I'm in 8B, and there's tulips don't last very long because we don't get enough cold usually, but the impression tulips do, and I love a good pink impression tulip. They come in red, they come in white, they come in orange. And they come in pink and maybe another color, and I don't remember.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love
they're
that.
Tall. They're gorgeous. They're huge. They're as big as my hand. They're absolutely gorgeous. And they would do well in yours. They would do very well in yours.
Yeah.
They're considered late, but here they bloom mid to late.
Mm-hmm.
And in tulips, the earlier the tulip, the shorter the stalk.
The earlier the tulip, the shorter the stalk. Okay.
So early tulips are short. Mid tulips are a little longer, and late tulips are really tall.
That makes sense.
Just so that you know. So don't plant your early tulips way at the back of your border behind your forsythia. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You won't see them.
But you can plant them behind your later tulips so that when your early tulips are dying, you hide them with your later tulips, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. You can also plant them like underneath your roses, your early tulips, because they don't get so tall. Or just in front of your roses, between your roses and your campanula, which goes really well with roses, or your, just give me a second, geraniums, hardy geraniums that go really well with roses.
Mm-hmm.
So those are good suggestions, and good for you for knowing that.
I've been listening, learning from the best.
Yes.
Yep.
So it's really important you get also your favorite, crocus.
I love crocuses. Crocuses make me so happy.
And my recommendation is that you really, really, really make some sort of a rough sketch map,
mm-hmm.
or write it down specifically in your journal that's going to make sense to you, that you know where they are. And remember, mm-hmm. I always recommend that you always plant at least two things in one hole, a perennial and bulbs, or two perennials.
So as I'm planting my tulips and my daffodils, what else should I be sticking in that hole?
A hardy geranium.
Now?
Yeah.
And they'll make it through the winter in zone 5.5?
Yeah. Now, these are not your mother's geraniums in pots. These are hardy geraniums.
Hardy geraniums. Okay.
Yeah. What Americans call geraniums is actually called, in horticultural terms, a pelargonium. Pelargonium. And they don't make it. That's not a geranium. A geranium is this little flowered, there's a million varieties of them.
Mm-hmm.
They come in all different colors. They're a small flowered mound of flowers that comes up every year. And it's considered very country gardening. Very beautiful cottage style gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And they cover a wealth of scents. They'll cover all of your bulbs. They can. They can cover a lot of soil and give you, and there's one called Roxanne
that
grows up to about, I know, right? It has blue flowers on it, my favorite. It blooms all summer if you trim it back once. And it keeps blooming, and it grows about 2 to 3 feet. I fed mine once, 16, 16, 16. It grew to 4 feet. It was unbelievable that year.
Whoa, that's crazy. Oh,
and
my goodness.
It doesn't come up till after the daffodils and the tulips are starting to sink back down. So you buy a geranium. Don't buy a big one. Buy a 4-inch pot. They'll spread. They won't hurt your bulbs. Your bulbs will come up through them. And as your bulbs are going down, here comes your beautiful geranium.
I love it.
And it's set for a long time.
That is awesome.
Okay, good.
That is awesome.
You can also do that with mums. You can do that with your asters.
Yeah.
You can do that with the things that you're planting now.
So mums are perennials.
Chrysanthemums. Some mums are, some mums aren't.
Okay, got it. They can't make it simple.
No, they can't. Some mums were, I think, hybridized into being only for a season, you know, and then they don't like the cold weather and they pout. Other mums will be hardy mums. And you can ask your nurseryman for hardy mums that you want coming back year after year. And they will.
Right.
They will come back year after year. And you put your daffodils around your hardy mums. Your mums will come up. They'll die back down. Your daffodils will come up in spring. Your mums will start to be green leafing out a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
but they won't cover all of the ugly stalks. They won't get that big that quick. So I plant the hardy geraniums around most of my tulips and stuff and my daffodils. And I don't put a lot in my garden. I put them in pots, or I put my daffodils in the lawn.
I love daffodils in the lawn. I love that. It's so magical. I mean, that's why I like crocuses too, because you can you can Easter egg them, and then, you know, suddenly you're looking outside and you're like, wait, what's that? What's that spot of purple? What's that spot of white in like this green? Oh, it is magic. It's a little gift magic that, you know, you now gives future you after you've made it through the long winter.
Exactly. And I highly recommend them, because you're not mowing your lawn at the time that the crocuses are coming up.
No,
the crocuses come up first. Your lawn is short.
Yeah.
Your lawn is short and half alive at that point. Mm-hmm. So you can see these beautiful little short crocuses coming up all over. It's beautiful. I put daffodils in a lawn, but we don't mow that lawn until June. Mm-hmm. So you have to be willing, daffodils and bluebells, you have to be willing to let your lawn look like crap. And we have one side that's kind of shady, and we've got the rhododendrons in there. And so we put in daffodils, and some people like to line them up against their sidewalk or line them up someplace. I don't recommend that. It always looks to me a little stilted. Mm-hmm. Most books say, go get a bag of daffodils and one or two in hand, throw them. And wherever they land, you plant them.
Just chucking daffodils left and right.
Gently throw them into the soft grass. and they'll look much more natural that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, daffodils are deer proof and critter proof because they numb the mouth of anybody that tries to eat them. So one sniff, one bite, and that's it.
Yep. I think that happened to our groundhog this past spring, where I saw, you know, they tried a flower, a bloom. It wasn't quite flowering yet, and it was laying half bitten on the ground, and all the others were perfectly fine, untouched.
Good. He's a smart one time.
None of that for me. No, thank you.
Good. Good for you. I would heartily recommend that you plant daffodils around something that you really want to protect.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
I did it around my trees. So the gophers wouldn't get to them.
Now you can plant daffodils in your lawn and not mow that part of the lawn. Or, and here's my native planting plug, you can plant, you know, kill your grass, just kill it over the winter. Now is the time to like lay tarp, lay newspaper, lay hay on top of it, right? And let the snow do its work if you're in a snow zone. Kill all that grass, and then come spring, plant creeping thyme, plant, you know, other
natives.
Other lawn natives, clover,
foxglove,
lay some moss down if you're in an especially wet and shady area.
Boggy area,
And then all good suggestions. Daffodils coming up through, you know, just other plants.
Yes.
That are just beautiful and require less maintenance and will flower and feed other little critters and be lovely and all year round. Like, we have large swaths of dead nettle, which sounds scary.
No, it's dead nettle's good.
I love my dead nettle so much. It was so stunning early spring, because we just had this huge swath of bright purple.
Yes.
And then in the yard, we had yellow dandelions popping through it. And it was stunning. It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. And then, you know, grass is just over there being green. Well, I mean, every plant is green. Like, you can have green all day long. And I love green. But dead nettle fed the bees. It's edible. You can actually turn it into a tea that is a good tea to have to make your allergies go away, which is something important for all gardeners. Yeah.
Really?
And it's delicious. It's a little minty. It's really yummy.
Good.
Anyway, so that's my plug. That's my little speech.
That's a good plug. Are you going to rip up your front lawn?
Yes. Yeah. So I think what we're going to do is because I have what I've complained about often is the Japanese knotweed. Yeah. So I'm going
you
to go.
You have kudzu in your front lawn?
No. I'm talking about not in the lawn, on our border, right by our fence. So we have the Japanese knotweed. So I'm going to go through, I'm going to do a poison treatment, cut everything down, and then I spray it directly on where I've cut it.
Yeah.
And then tarp it over.
Oh, good.
So
see if that works. We'll want everything. A full report.
Yeah,
we'll want a full report.
I will keep you posted.
I told Haunt that we have a lot of blackberry, wild blackberry, yes. That just sort of takes over. And there's nothing that, I mean, you can try to dig it out, but we've tried and it doesn't really work. It just laughs at us and comes back. There is something, though, that does kill it, and that's crossbow. And I was snipping off my blackberry and trying to start spraying it with crossbow when a neighbor came by and said, Rebecca, what are you doing? I said, I'm killing my blackberry. And he said, honey, you want all of the blackberry to have crossbow on it because now is the time when the plant's energies and sap and everything goes back down into its roots, fall. Now is the time to kill big time invasives. Mm-hmm. So now is when you spray, and you might want to test it out and spray one cut off kudzu and another one, the whole vine, and see which one doesn't come back and which one does, or if they both come back.
Yeah. And see. Do a little experiment. Now I already did one treatment of,
good.
I think I used Roundup.
It won't do much good. It'll kill your grass, but it won't kill the kudzu.
I didn't get the grass, unfortunately.
I hear you.
I have such a vendetta against it. We have a poison ivy vine going up one tree. So I doused that. Careful not to get the tree as much as I could.
Yes.
It got a little, but that's what bark is for, right?
That's
it
right.
Should be okay. So I got that. And then I also, did, you know, a decent amount of the kudzu and, some of it is looking a little sad, but it's still looking like it's going to persist. You know, it is tough stuff.
Well, you definitely hit it, but you didn't knock it out.
Yeah.
He's staggering along, you know, the backside of the ropes. But he's not out. He's not out.
Yeah.
And it's good for you to know the difference, you know? So try something stronger. Mm-hmm. And I would go to my local co-op or my local nursery and say, what will kill it? What in your experience will kill it? And if they say digging is the only thing, you know you're talking to someone who has a religious problem with spray. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. She can live with her kudzu. But
I tried digging. I put hours into digging it
out. I know you did.
And oh my Lord.
I know you did.
I mean,
I know you did.
Like
it was
4 hours of backbreaking work. And I looked back and I had the smallest little sad patch of dirt and all of this kudzu, like just a field of it left. My hands felt broken.
Yeah.
My back felt, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're getting your gardener chops. You know, this is dues. We all have to start with something god awful.
Yes.
And if you read great gardening starting books, you know, where How the Great Garden Started, it took Vita Sackville-West, who has Sissinghurst, 2.5 years with help to clear away the trash, the oil cans and the bins and the the old furniture, all this horrible stuff. It took her 2.5 years to do that with help.
Oh,
2.5 years before Sissinghurst got started. So listen, I want to start in, I told you this last time and I'm going to reiterate it again. Great gardens, garden now. Fall is the time when a serious gardener gets going. Mm-hmm. So you go back to your journal and you check your notes about what you wanted to move.
Mm-hmm.
And by mid-September, you start moving them.
Mm. Yep.
You can start now on the 6th, Elizabeth. And if you've got something that's great big, if you bought a hosta, for example.
Nah, I that, do.
That you want to dig up and move mm-hmm. or sell. Mm-hmm. Now is the time to dig it up. If you want to sell it, pot it up into 15 pots. Mm-hmm. Sell them for $1 each. You'll be rid of them in a day.
Yeah.
Sell them for $2. You'll be rid of them in a day.
Yeah.
There are hosta aficionados out there I do not understand. I love you to pieces, hosta aficionados. I do not understand it, but I don't like yellow flowers either. So there.
We are not team hosta. That's okay.
No, we are not team hosta, but they will buy your hosta. They will mm-hmm. buy a snippet of it, a well-planted up, potted up snippet of it for a buck or two because hostas are expensive, very expensive.
And then I can say hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, my God. Did I set you up for that?
You
oh,
did. That's great.
Okay. Yes.
Yep.
So apart from roses, you divide all of your perennials.
Mm-hmm.
You dig up your bulbs if you want them moved.
Mm-hmm.
You pot up anything that you don't have more room for and unload it to your favorite charity or your favorite garden club or your favorite aunt, whatever you do your reorganizing now. And I highly recommend that you take notes at night, what you moved, what you got rid of, because I guarantee you next year, some of it you won't remember because there's so much activity in that.
Yes.
So when you divide your perennials, you need to start digging them, not right next to it, but a little further out so you give them a root.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then if your perennial's big, you know, Shasta daisies have a really hard time getting divided because they're very... rooty, massy.
Yes. And, they have big.
You're going to need help digging up a big bunch. You're going to need, you know, Forrest in there on one shovel and you on the other, and you go around halfway around each of you and you try to get it out, and you're still going to pop roots, and that's okay. And then you finally get it out and you're huffing and puffing and you're like, okay. And he's going to say, okay, where do you want it? And you say, well, I want 4 of them. I want this divided into 4s so that I have rhythm in my border.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want 2 on each side of this tree and 2 on the other side of this tree.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want. Or I want 6 of them lining my driveway. Whatever you want. So then you have to divide them. Unless your shovel is so sharp as this kitchen knife, go get your biggest kitchen knife. Preferably a serrated one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess around with your shovel. You'll just hurt yourself, and mostly you'll hurt the thing. And you saw it in 2. And then you wet it down to within an inch of its life. And you put it in the shade and let it rest for a day. If you haven't already dug your holes.
Mm-hmm.
If you have dug your holes, you wet the hole and you stick it in. My suggestion is that you know where you're going to put it and dig the hole.
Yeah.
And biggest problem is that I can't dig that hole yet because I've got to move the thing that was there that I don't like anymore.
Yeah.
So I have to dig that out first, and then I have to find a place for it, or I have to find an owner for it.
The order of operations gets very convoluted very fast.
So I highly recommend that you think about this at night.
Mm-hmm.
After dinner, when you're well fed and you're resting, mm-hmm. and you think, list the things that you want moved,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. List them to where you want to move them. List them to what else needs to be moved from there.
Yep.
You know, and sort of go at it like a lesson plan. First, you're going to do this, then you're going to do that, then you're going to do that. If you don't let them be out more than one night.
Right. Yeah. No. Would you recommend soaking them in a bucket of water overnight?
It depends.
It depends on what they are.
Okay. It depends on what they are.
That makes
if
sense.
If they're something that loves water, yes. If they're something that doesn't like water, like cactus or a succulent, no.
Right.
But yes, for the most part. And if it's going to be too cold that night, you know, don't have their roots exposed. Put a tarp over it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on that same note, I dug up a huge bed of irises, bearded irises that I had in California when
irises.
I was moving. And I put them in this huge plastic bin with a lid without very much earth at them at all. I shook the earth off and stuck them all in there, unmarked. We didn't move for a year and a half.
Oh, no.
And I thought, well, I've lost them. I've just lost them.
Yeah.
I got them out in the spring when I finally moved, almost, a year and a half later.
Wow.
And I planted them and they grew.
Oh, my God. And in that time, were you watering them? Were they exposed to light?
No. I'd forgotten about them.
Oh, my God.
I'd forgotten. Now, they weren't in hot sun. They were, you know, stacked up against the house someplace in the shade. But you can do certain things. I don't recommend that for everything.
Yeah. But nature is resilient. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
But the sooner you get in your divided perennial, and it will be in shock, and you need to cut it back, and you need to treat it nice and water it, make sure that it gets enough water, the better off you're going to have the showing next year. And suddenly then you'll have four big bushes.
Right.
And then digging up those four, dividing those, and then you have 16, and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. So you can see that your neighbors, your gardening friends, now is the time to make friends with people who have big gardens.
Yes, yeah.
Because you'll be doing them a favor. You know, I'll be looking for people to give away my philopendulas. Mm-hmm. I have a huge amount and I need them gone. So when I say consult your journal on what you want to move where, if you haven't been keeping one, go through your garden and write things down. Take a big old legal pad and your trustiest pen that will write upside down, as well as or as a good pencil. A really good pencil. I kind of make a lot of notes in pencil when I know that I'm going to be out in the garden, because I'll be upside down. I'll be all around.
Right. Yeah.
Also, you might want to save seeds. Covered in dirt.
Oh, yes. Yep. I am saving seeds. And I am doing what you recommend, which is organizing them in a specific way. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know,
where'd you get your alphabet?
Well, so I just have them in envelopes. And I'm just, you know, alphabetizing. Alphabetizing the envelopes. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
that's
but I saved
and
my
you have
cilantro
them in a box?
Seeds. And,
good.
Yep, I have
you
a
know
box
that's,
designated.
Good. Do you know that your cilantro is now, the seed is actually called coriander? You
coriander.
Know that.
Coriander. Yes, I
yes.
do.
Yes. And you can cook with it.
Yes. Yeah. I don't quite have enough that I want to cook with it. And I have a ton of coriander seed that I bought
okay,
in bulk,
good.
Which I'm unsure of its planting viability. So yeah.
Next spring, try some.
I will.
You know,
I have like
a
whole jar full from when we were making pickles. So,
Nice. So try some next year, you know, put a half a dozen or a dozen into a pot and see what happens.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you'll know your percentage rate. You know, if you put 10 in and you get one, you know, your percentage rate is 1%. So if you want 100, you're going to have 1,000 seeds like that.
Yep.
But seed saving is really, really important right now because you'll regret it when you start having to, I had that last year. What happened to that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was good. I wish I'd saved some seeds. Because in January, you're going to want them. And you're not going to want to pay $1.50 plus $1 shipping costs.
Mm-hmm.
It just adds up.
Especially not the shipping costs.
Now, you had good marigolds this year, didn't you?
Oh, my God. My marigolds were insane this year. I love them. Yeah, they're just bombshells.
Okay,
bombshell,
so make sure
marigolds.
Make sure you get them. Make sure they're really, really ripe.
Mm-hmm.
So if the seed pod is still green on the vine, don't take it off.
Okay.
Take it off only when it's brown.
Okay.
Your seed should be almost blacky brown.
Right. Right.
If they're greeny brown or just brown, light brown, they're not going to germinate.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It matters.
Yeah.
They don't. It's unlike a tomato. You can eat an unripe tomato, but you cannot plant an unripe seed and expect it to grow.
Mm, that makes sense. Yeah, it needs to get all of that genetic information. Yeah.
Exactly. It's also time to plant trees.
Yes. So we have a couple little saplings that are growing in places that, you know, I don't think that they're going to be successful in.
Good.
But I want to transplant these little saplings to places that they will be more, like, we just took down two trees in the back of our yard. Well, they were dead. I think I talked about this too.
We had
a whole big thing. Oh my God, it was stressful, but all the men folk brought it down.
The men folk did that. Good.
Yeah. I made the tacos and, you know, we all
yes.
provided the sustenance and fuel and beer.
It's like a barn warming backwards.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then I had Forrest cut up the tree into poles, into like fourths. And I want to use them as pillars for our garden. For like
excellent.
A big tall fence. Yeah.
Excellent. What a good idea.
So that's my plan, right? I mean, we have it.
Fabulous.
You know, free wood. Wood is expensive right now. So
yes,
might as well use what we have.
Exactly.
But I'd love to replace that, you know, the dead trees that we took down with, you know, new living saplings. So we have a couple little maple saplings that are coming up. And, you know, I want to dig them up and move them somewhere they'll be happier.
Be very conscious of the fact that their roots need to go with them as much as you can.
Yeah.
If they're little tiny, you know, like a foot or less, you can get the entire root ball.
Mm-hmm.
And do it as fast as you can, Elizabeth. Don't let it grow anymore. They need to move and get into a different place.
Yeah.
And trees are unlike what I'm telling you about herbaceous perennials. Trees you plant once.
Yeah.
You can't be moving a tree over and over again. You need to plant it once and live with it. If you've made a mistake, okay. You know, you've made a mistake. Start again. But you have to double, triple think. You know, it's like my mother said that she and her sister used to measure twice and cut once on their sewing. And Aunt Blossom always did that. And Mother, who was the youngest, just went ahead and cut, measured once and cut. She was always going back to the store for more. So think twice, plant once.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I think I actually, speaking of this, I heard a story about a couple, oh gosh, where was this? This was in the not the Berkshires. What's the fancy place in New York that everyone goes to?
Adirondacks?
No.
Hamptons?
Hamptons. Yes, it was in the Hamptons. I'm looking it up. Hamptons large tree. So there was a very rich couple.
Owner.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they bought a house, and
in the Hamptons.
They wanted to have an old growth tree in their front yard, and there was no tree in their front yard.
No, it would take a lifetime to grow it.
It would. I mean, if they were to plant a tree and wait, that would just that would take like way too long. And they wanted an old growth tree now, so I think they paid like $3 million to have an old growth oak transplanted into their front yard.
I heard that was the Spielbergs, but I'm not sure.
Crazy. Crazy.
It is crazy. I always wanted the follow-up. Did the tree make it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to look it up now.
I mean, for $3 million, you better hope it makes it, because there's no guarantee that an old-growth tree wouldn't have snapped its major roots.
Right?
And you'd have to cut it back to something ugly to make it grow again. I always wondered if it made it. And there's no follow-up on that.
I don't think there is.
No. Yeah. Maybe someday we'll have to go to the Hamptons and check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Knock, knock. Excuse me. What's for dinner?
We want to look at your tree. We want to assess it.
That's right. So when you plant trees, Elizabeth, remember, you plant them in a square hole. And you plant them 50% with the soil of the lawn or the space you're planting it in, and 50% good stuff, so that the roots will be encouraged to grow. Okay,
yes.
Don't forget that. That's a big deal. Don't plant them in a circle. It might girdle the roots. And don't plant them just in the bad soil of what you're putting them in, because it might not grow.
Yeah.
And plant them at least a month before the first frost. Mm-hmm. So that's why you need to get going on that.
Yeah, we need to do that like tomorrow.
Right. And yeah. When you do it, make sure that you've cleared away wherever it is that you've got around it, the grass or roots or whatever else that you've got around it, so it doesn't lend to competition. And if you can mulch it, good. Even with cardboard. I know it'll look like crap, but cardboard and leaves, mulch it. Okay? Because you're going to have a ton of leaves.
Oh,
and
yes.
And leaf mold is a big deal. We'll talk about leaf mold the next time. Leaf mold is a big, great, big, wonderful deal.
Yes, we do need to talk about that. Yeah,
as
fall progresses. Yeah.
Good. So I want to talk about what you do with your harvest. You've made pickles, right?
Yeah, we made pickles from our round cucumbers. They turned out round, of course. And
okay.
More like watermelon slices.
Did you cut them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Rather than have like a, you know, I mean, they're like softball size. They're softball size cucumbers.
Well, do they taste good?
They do. They taste like cucumbers. They just look like little yellowy watermelons.
But do you, what do I want to say? Do you crisp them up in the refrigerator and get them cold? And do they get crisper in the fridge?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Are they bread and butter or are they
dill? No, I did like dill. Dill.
Good.
I love a dill pickle.
I do too. A garlic dill pickle. That's my fave.
Same.
Well, when I was in Weight Watchers, I really loved, I love pasta. And, you know, that's why I was in Weight Watchers. And one of the things that I had a lot of was I had a lot of eggplant.
Oh,
I put
yeah.
in maybe a dozen eggplant, not a dozen, maybe nine. And they kicked butt one year and I was covered up with eggplants.
Oh.
And I couldn't fry them. You know, eggplant's like a sponge. Whatever you put on it, it will soak into it immediately.
Yeah.
So you learn to not put oil on it until you stick it right on the frying pan.
Right. Right.
Right on the frying pan. Well, I decided that I liked grilled zucchini, so I was going to try grilled eggplant. So I would not bread it. I would slice up the eggplant and pour salt on it and let it bleed a little bit, sometimes overnight, but that didn't work too
water.
Well. Water.
Yeah.
And actually, you don't really need to do that too much anymore. It's been, the bitterness has been bred out of most of the eggplants.
Oh, really?
I always get black beauties because they're a nice chunky eggplant, so I have a lot to work with. And then I slap some oil on them, olive oil, as quick as I could. In fact, I used Pam olive oil. I sprayed it on as quickly as I could and put them on the grill. So that the fire and the oil hit each other at the same time, and it didn't soak into the eggplant. And then I sprayed the other side while it was facing up when I was ready to flip it.
Yum.
So I grilled all my eggplant. Then I made my sauce, which is, you know, I learned in Italy that if you flavor your oil, then it goes through everything. So you start with your oil and garlic and onion, and that gives it a body and a flavor. And then you pour your tomatoes in there and you make sure it's not too acidic. So you add sugar if you need a little tiny, tiny, tiny bit of sugar. And then you add whatever spices you want, herbs you want. The Italians usually do it with only one herb at a time. They would say to me, Rebecca, do you want, do you want pasta tonight with prezzemolo, parsley? I'm like, no, I don't like parsley. And they'd say, well, what do you like? And I'd say, basil. I'm like, okay, we'll make it with basil. They never mixed them. They don't do what we do in America. Yeah, they don't do that. But I found that if you really want a good ragu that tastes like a really good ragu, you have to have rosemary in it. I add oregano, rosemary, and basil at the end. But that rosemary is the thing that gives it that sort of, I don't know, almost smokiness. Anyway,
I love rosemary.
I make a meatless sauce with this tomatoes and stuff and lots of garlic and lots of onion and some basil at the end. And then I make a ricotta with an egg in it and grated Parmesan cheese and nutmeg and a little salt.
That sounds amazing. So,
it is. It's a good one. And it makes a counterbalance to all this acid of the tomatoes. You can also just use a bechamel, which is fine too. That's what they use for lasagna. And that's nice too. But I toast my flour before I make the white sauce so that that gives it an extra body. Anyway, those grilled eggplant parms that I made had very few calories, even with the little bit of cheese that I had put in there. I used very little mozzarella. I used a little bit of ricotta, and not fat-free, but half-fat ricotta, light ricotta. And I lost a lot of weight eating those. They were almost guilt-free eggplant parms. So for those of you that have a lot of eggplants this year, you can do it with zucchini. You can do a zucchini lasagna.
Yep.
Which would be very good. And I've heard that it freezes well. Do you know if zucchini freezes well?
I mean, I kind of don't believe it because, I mean, it has such a high water content. Yeah.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. So if anybody's out there that knows if zucchini freezes well, write it into our website.
I have heard, and this was on the internet, some brilliant person said that what she does before making her tomato sauce is she freezes her tomatoes. She just
freezes
puts them right in the freezer. And then, you know, over the summer, she puts them in the freezer just the way they are. And then when she collects enough tomatoes to make a good sauce, she defrosts them and the skins just peel right off.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they also, you know, they drain themselves of water and then you're just left with the tomato meat that you want.
Nice.
And you can make a beautiful tomato sauce. Just add
that's
that.
Really
and you don't have to boil or blanch them. There's no hot tomatoes that you're trying to get the skin off of. You just
immerse them like you taught me.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that immersion blender.
I do too, and I don't ever skin my tomatoes in. Sometimes the flavor might be a little bit in the tomato itself.
Yeah. Well they say
but you've got to really be thorough with it.
They say the skin is like the healthy part, you know, that's the part that has all the good stuff, you know, you want the skin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
So
smart.
So smart. So good luck, everybody, with your gardening harvest. I wish you well. My heart is with you thinking about them and stuff. Now is also the time in the next couple of weeks to plant garlic.
Yes. Yes.
And Elizabeth, I read something this week in Growing Garlic.
Oh.
When they start to bloom, you cut off the bloom and it makes a bigger bulb. I didn't know that.
Smart. Okay.
Because all my bulbs were really wimpy. I had beautiful flowers, but all my bulbs were really wimpy. So I'm going to plant some garlic this year and I'm going to cut off the... God's going to cut off the bulb. The blossoms when he sees them. Said about that with a pair of scissors every day.
Yeah.
All right, sweetheart, angel baby. What else?
What'd
you have for dinner? Leftovers. What's for dinner with you?
Leftovers. We had
some ribs last night.
We had Oh, you're going to love this. We had tofu larb.
No, you did not have that.
Yeah, we had
tofu. You did not have that.
Uh-huh. We had tofu larb lettuce wraps, and they were delicious.
Nothing with tofu is delicious. Nothing. Oh, nothing
it was.
At all,
it
ever.
Was. So.
No, you're lying. You're this lying.
This was a New York Times recipe. Took a cup of fresh herbs, just kind of whatever you have, but you want to stick to like the leafy herbs. So I did parsley, basil, and mint. Chop them all up. And then you mix it with like lime and, soy sauce, brown sugar. Fry some onions up, and you just throw that in with like a tofu mash. Oh, so good. And then you wrap that up in a lettuce roll, and it is delicious.
You need chicken with that. Or maybe
I think
some
traditionally,
pork sausage.
I think traditionally bacon. it's done with pork. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say bacon. Bacon. You need bacon with that.
Yeah.
I won't eat tofu without bacon. I'll, you can hold the tofu.
That kind of defeats the purpose, but I hear you.
Okay, good. So hopefully we'll get an answer. And if you can freeze zucchini like as slices of pasta in a lasagna, I want to know that. You can freeze the eggplant.
Curious.
That's for sure.
Interesting.
That is for sure.
Well, okay then.
Anyway, what else I was going to say to you? I was going to ask you something and I don't know what it was. Have you brought in your house plants yet?
No, I haven't. But I was thinking about it yesterday and today. Well, it has been raining for 2 days straight.
Oh.
Just pouring rain. So I think I do need to really bring them in soon.
We're praying for rain here.
Yeah.
We're very excited because the forecast says on next Tuesday, which doesn't count because it's too far away.
Yeah.
Way next Tuesday, like a week away. We're going to have 60% chance of rain. And we're so excited about that. By next Tuesday, it will have dissipated. It will disappear like a mirage.
Well, I'll do a rain dance for you.
Okay. And we're still swimming. So that's good too.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. All right, sweetheart angel. We'll talk again very, very soon. I love you whole bunches.
I love you whole bunches. All right. Mwah.
Mwah.
Check us out on TikTok at Gardening Related, our website at gardeningrelated.com, and our Instagram at gardening.related. Ask us questions, buy supplies, leave your feedback, and give us some love.
I like that.